Yashodanandana Rajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Yashodanandana Prajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tiravana Chari Chaitanya Manovishnam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Mancha Kalpaturubhyascha Kapasindubhyay Vacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, we're reading from the sixth canto, chapter 16, text 33. Navya vichara tita veksha. Vyabhicharatita tava taveksha Yahya bhito bhagavato dhamma Sira chara sattva kadam beshu Avritta viyoyam upasate dvaryah Chara sattva kadambeshu Not Vyabhicharati fails. Tava your Icha outlook. Yaya by which he indeed Abhihitaha declared Bhagavataha in relationship with your instructions and activities. Dharmaha, religious principle. Stira, non-moving. Chara, moving. Sattva-pradambeshu, among the living entities. Apritaktiyaha, who do not consider distinctions. Yam, which, asate, follow. To, certainly, Aryaha, those who are advanced in civilization. Translation. My dear Lord, one's occupational duty is instructed in Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita according to your point of view, which never deviates from the highest goal of life. Those who follow their occupational duties under your supervision, being equal to all living entities, moving and non-moving, and not considering high and low, are called Aryans. Such Aryans worship you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Report. Bhagavad Dharma and Krishna Katha are identical. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted everyone to become a guru and preach the instructions of Krishna everywhere, from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, the Puranas, Vedanta Sutra, and similar Vedic literatures. Aryans, who are advanced in civilization, follow Bhagavad Dharma. Prahlad Maharaj, although merely a child of 5 years, recommended Komara Acharat Pragyo Dharman Bhagavataniha Durlapam Manusham Janma Tadapyadruvam Artadam. Prahlad Maharaj preached Bhagavad Dharma among his classmates as soon as an opportunity was afforded by the absence of his teachers from the classroom. He said that from the very beginning of life, from the age of 5, children should be instructed about Bhagavad Dharma, because the human form of life, which is very, very rarely obtained, is meant for understanding this subject. Bhagavad Dharma means living according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita, we find that the Supreme Lord has arranged human society in 4 social divisions, namely Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra. Again, the Puranas and other Vedic literatures set forth 4 ashramas, which are the divisions of spiritual life. Therefore, Bhagavad Dharma means the Varnashram Dharma of the 4 social and 4 spiritual divisions. The members of human society who strictly follow the principles of Bhagavad Dharma and live according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are called Aryans or Arya. A civilization of Aryans who strictly follow the instructions of the Lord and never deviate from those instructions is perfect. Such civilized men do not discriminate between trees, animals, human beings, and other living entities. Pandita Samadarshinaha. Because they are completely educated in Krishna consciousness, they see all living beings equally. Aryans do not kill even a small plant unnecessarily, not to speak of cutting trees for sense gratification. At the present moment, throughout the world, killing is prominent. Men are killing trees, they are killing animals, and they are killing other human beings also, all for sense gratification. This is not an Aryan civilization. As stated here, stira chara satvakambeshvapa apritag diaha. The word apritag diaha indicates that Aryans do not distinguish between lower and higher grades of life. All life should be protected. All living beings have a right to live, even the trees and plants. This is the basic principle of an Aryan civilization. Apart from the lower living entities, those who have come to the platform of human civilization should be divided into society of Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. The Brahmanas should follow the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as stated in Bhagavad Gita and other Vedic literatures. The criterion must be guna and karma. In other words, one should acquire the qualities of a Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra, and act accordingly. This is the civilization accepted by the Aryans. Why do they accept it? They accept it because they are very much eager to satisfy Krishna. This is perfect civilization. Aryans do not deviate from the instructions of Krishna, nor do they have doubts about Krishna. But non-Aryans and other demoniac people fail to follow the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. This is because they have been trained in sense gratification at the cost of other living entities. Nunam pramataha kurute vikarma. Their only business is to indulge in all kinds of forbidden activities for sense gratification. Yad indriya pritaya aprinoti. They deviate in this way because they want to gratify their senses. They have no other occupation or ambition. Their method of civilization is condemned in the previous verse. Kakshimo nija para parayo yan vartasvapara ruha dharmena. What is the meaning of a civilization that kills oneself and others? This verse, therefore, advises that everyone become a member of the Aryan civilization and accept instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should conduct his social, political, and religious affairs according to his instructions. We are spreading the Krishna consciousness movement to try to establish a society the way that Krishna wants it. This is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. We are therefore presenting Bhagavad Gita as it is and kicking out all kinds of mental concoction. Fools and rascals interpret Bhagavad Gita in their own way. When Krishna says, Man mana bhava mad bhakto mad yaji man namaskaru, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me, they comment that it is not to Krishna to whom we must surrender. Thus they derive imaginary meanings from Bhagavad Gita. The Krishna consciousness movement, however, strictly follows Bhagavad Dharma, the instructions of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, for the complete welfare of human society. One who misinterprets Bhagavad Gita, twisting out some meaning for his sense gratification, is a non-Aryan. Therefore, commentaries on Bhagavad Gita by such persons should be immediately rejected. One should try to follow Bhagavad Gita as it is. In Bhagavad Gita 12:67, Lord Sri Krishna says, Yetu sarvani karmani mayi sanyasya mataraha ananyena eva yognena mam dhatya yantabhu upasate deshamaham samudharta mrityu samsara sagarat avami na chara parta maya veshita chetasam. Quote, for one who worships me, giving up all his activities unto me, and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, who has fixed his mind upon me, O son of Pritha, for him I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of earth and hell. Again, didn't have very much time to prepare, so. So this verse is about continuing the theme of Bhagavad Dharma. What is Bhagavad Dharma? Yesterday's verse compared Bhagavad Dharma with Kaitava Dharma, which means like cheating Dharma, cheating religion. And then, you know, kind of, there's like a compare and contrast going on in the previous verse. And then this verse just gives some more information about what exactly is Bhagavad Dharma and where does it come from. So Bhagavad Dharma, here, according to the verse, it says that it comes from Krishna. It comes from the instructions of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. And it ultimately comes from Krishna's point of view, just how he sees things. That's what Dharma is. However he thinks things should be arranged and however he thinks things should be done, that's Dharma. That's Bhagavad Dharma. Otherwise, it's very difficult sometimes to try to figure out what should be done, what should not be done, what is right, what is wrong, what is moral, what is immoral, without a picture of God. I had a friend in college who he's a philosophy major, so this is like a very common question that a lot of people who study philosophy try to answer is, you know, what should we do, what shouldn't we do? What's the right thing to do, what's not the right thing to do, morality and things, you know, courses and courses on this. And without a clear conception of God, usually the conclusion that people come to is like that you can't come to a conclusion. That it's just, you know, the more you study philosophy, especially in college and in graduate school, you just get better and better at coming to the point of articulating how much you don't know. That's usually what the progress in philosophy is. You just ultimately come to the realization that we don't know, and you just become better at articulating that. So in one attempt that my friend gave when I was in college about trying to understand, you know, something which is better than something else, he really wanted to come up with an argument to say why one particular music band was better than another particular music band. So he took, like, you know, one band was considered to be awful by most people. He gave the example of like Nickelback or Creed, or, you know, anyway, if you like those bands, I'm sorry, but this is the example he was giving. These are generally considered in popular, you know, circles not be those that great of a bands. And then he compared those bands with bands like Radiohead, which is generally considered to be like a more, like, you know, it's like a better band. And he really wanted to prove that Radiohead was just absolutely better than these other bands, philosophically. But it wasn't such an easy task to do. He started with the argument that, okay, well, I know people who started liking Nickelback and Creed, but then later they ended up starting liking Radiohead. So therefore they kind of like evolved their taste to liking like a more sophisticated band. But then he reasoned that I've never heard of anybody who liked Radiohead, but who ended up, after, you know, refining their taste or whatever, going back to liking Nickelback or Creed. So this was his argument to say that, okay, Radiohead is better than these other bands. But, you know, so that's one thing you could say to try to make an argument, but still, there really is nothing absolutely that you can say that the reason why Radiohead is better than these other bands. Because if you really, like, you didn't really still answer the question, it's still kind of, how are you supposed to philosophically prove that Radiohead is better than this other band? You just can't really do it. It's very difficult. He came to the conclusion that you can't do it. So without understanding of God, you can't really compare what is better, what is worse, what one should do, what one should not do, because it's just all kind of relative. And you can make arguments for anything, especially the way people study philosophy nowadays. It's really confusing. So today we're going to try to learn a little bit more about Bhagavad Dharma, because it helps clarify for us what we should do, what is right, what is wrong. it just clears a lot of things up. So Bhagavat, this has been the discussion for the past few days, so it's just continuing it because that's what the theme of these few verses are. Bhagavat means God, Dharma means, could mean duty, religion, the intrinsic nature of something. You know, Dharma can mean, and, you know, Dharma includes like a lot of different meanings. And then we've been given so many definitions of Bhagavat Dharma in the previous verses and this verse. So the previous verse talked about Bhagavat Dharma being a process of religion enunciated by pure devotees. That's one definition. Another definition is it's following the orders given by the Supreme Lord. It's believing in God and surrendering to Him. It's another definition of Bhagavat Dharma. Researching how everything is connected with Krishna. Another way how Bhagavat Dharma was defined. And it means service as an eternal servant of Krishna. This is previous verses. And then there's more definitions given in this verse today. Here Prabhupada says that Bhagavat Dharma is identical with Krishna Katha. So whenever you're speaking about Krishna, that's Bhagavat Dharma. Another definition of Bhagavat Dharma is just worshiping Krishna. So many different ways. Similar definitions, living according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that was given here also. Being solely devoted to Krishna, giving up all other activities, engaging in devotional service, and always meditating on Krishna. These are further definitions. And then perhaps one of the more interesting, potentially controversial definitions of Bhagavad Dharma given in this purport is the previous definitions I don't think anybody would disagree with as far as the meaning of what Bhagavad Dharma means. But potentially controversial idea of what Bhagavad Dharma is was given here by Prabhupada. Prabhupada says, Bhagavad Dharma means the Varnashram Dharma of the four social and spiritual divisions. So this this statement has caused some controversy, perhaps. It's not so easy to understand, because Varnashram Dharma, okay, first, I guess we can understand what Varnashram Dharma is, and then try to understand how Bhagavat Dharma can mean Varnashram Dharma. Because generally, we don't equate the two, but they're being equated in this report. So, Varnashram Dharma, It's basically just a way of organizing things such that things can go on smoothly. It's like the social order. There's four social and spiritual orders of how society can be arranged such that things go on smoothly. And Prabhupada many times indicated in his lectures and his talks that this organizing society can most effectively be done in a like kind of like a rural community. Like the principles of Varnashram can be most effectively implemented in rural community as opposed to them being implemented in like a city, like, you know, a big city where the modes of passion and ignorance are heavily influencing things. It's not to say that you can't implement Varnashram Dharma in a city, but Prabhupada often stressed, especially later in the 70s, stressing the idea of Varnashram Dharma and particularly establishing like farm communities as like a vehicle to be able to establish Varnashram Dharma. So the way Prabhupada connects the two in this verse is that one that I don't think anybody would argue with is that Bhagavad Dharma means following the orders of Krishna. That's like a given, that's like a axiomatic truth. So then one of the orders that Krishna has given in Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, other places, is to arrange society according to Varnashram Dharma. So therefore, following Varnashram Dharma means following the instructions of Krishna. And therefore, if you follow the logical chain, following Varnashram Dharma means following Bhagavad Dharma. So that's like the logical connection. Like if you've ever studied logic in high school, like you can make statements, and if A equals to B and B equals to C, then C equals to A, that kind of thing. So that's what's being used here to justify how the two are identical. But there's like sometimes a little, perhaps it might not always be so clear. You know, there's been debates about whether this is true or not. Because one can argue that, okay, if following Varnashram Dharma is if following Varnashram Dharma is the exact same as following Bhagavad Dharma, then I could just spend all my time trying to establish Varnashram Dharma here in the modern age, trying to arrange society and four social orders, four spiritual orders, and you know, just spend all my time just doing that, and I'm practicing Bhagavad Dharma, you know, and therefore I will be able to perfect my life just by arranging society in the way that Krishna instructed. And some devotees say that doesn't make sense because, you know, what about all the other things like chanting and reading and hearing? You know, other activities of devotional service, like, because if they're the same, then they're the same, then you could just do either, and then you can perfect your life that way. But devotees say that no, you can't just perfect your life by focusing on Varnashram Dharma. And then second is that attempts that devotees that it's not easy to establish Varnashram Dharma, especially nowadays. So many, I guess our devotees have tried in many different ways to try to establish Varnashram Dharma now, and it oftentimes didn't lead to a great deal of success. Many devotees have said that it's not really even possible to do it nowadays. So it's like one, it's difficult, and two, it's like devotees don't even know if it's really worth it to like invest the time and energy needed to be able to establish Varnashram Dharma nowadays. So it's kind of like where the debate comes from. So there's arguments for both sides. I had to do a little bit of research to understand what the points were. So arguments for the idea of okay, we should be putting our time and energy into trying to establish Varnashram Dharma nowadays. We can look at these arguments. So one argument is that it was, you know, Varnashram Dharma was established by Krishna. You know, this is his system. This is the way he organized society so that things can go on nicely. Narada Muni in the seventh canto, in chapter 11, said that by practicing Varnashram Dharma, one's mind and body become satisfied. You know, by practicing Bhagavad Dharma, one's soul becomes satisfied. By practicing Varnashram Dharma, one's mind and body become satisfied. And one can become free from material distress. This is like the benefits of practicing Varnashram Dharma nicely. And in fact, Narada Muni also referred to Varnashram Dharma as being Sanatana Dharma. He actually referred to that in the 11th chapter of the 7th canto. So Sanatana Dharma means eternal Dharma, something that we generally consider to be the most important thing. So that's one idea, is that Krishna's system. Another is that it's been supported by our previous acharyas. Their previous acharyas support the idea of establishing Varnashram Dharma. Prabhupada spoke a lot about it. Bhaktivinoda spoke a lot about it. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he wrote a letter one time to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stating that because you are trying to establish Daivi Varnashram, you are blessed. This is real service to the Vaishnavas. This is real preaching. So even Bhaktivinoda Thakur has supported the idea of trying to establish Varnashram Dharma, Daivi Varnashram, you know, God-centered Varnashram. And then Prabhupada, you know, in our movement, Prabhupada had so many instructions about establishing Varnashram now. In fact, you know, he didn't speak about it as much when he started, But as time went on, he started to speak about it more and more. Because the idea was that one time devotees asked Prabhupada, you know, aren't we transcendental to Varnashram Dharma? Like, seems like it's just like a material social order thing. Aren't we transcendental to it because we're devotees? And then Prabhupada said, are we? Are we, you know, if we are Vaishnavas, then why are we falling down? But this was the argument. Like, are we really transcendental? Are we really beyond the bodily concept of life that we don't need Varnashram Dharma? So, you know, therefore, it seemed like Prabhupada was wanting to have built some kind of foundation for having a peaceful life, to be able to practice Krishna consciousness, or having like a safety net, as they say, so that at least you're still within Krishna's system if you, you know, if you can't like totally come up to the standard of just hearing and chanting all day and practicing direct devotional service. Also, there's a quote from Prabhupada. He wrote, among the four yugas, the ages, Satya, Treta, Dwapara, and Kali Yuga, Kali Yuga is the worst. But if the process of Varnashram Dharma is introduced, even in this age of Kali, the situation of Satya Yuga can be invoked. The Hare Krishna movement, or Krishna consciousness movement, is meant for this purpose. So here Prabhupada saying that purpose of the Krishna consciousness movement is to establish Varnashram Dharma, to invoke a situation like Satya Yuga for the purpose of pleasing Krishna and having like a foundation to be able to really develop Krishna consciousness. And then finally, the famous Prabhupada said that 50% of my work was left unfinished, and then 50% is still to be done. And generally that 50% still to be done is the establishment of Varnashram Dharma. So these are all reasons why devotees think that we should go for it. We should do this. We should try to establish Varnashram Dharma. More reasons, I guess. It's conducive for spiritual advancement while simultaneously performing one's prescribed duties. Because not everybody has sufficient, like, sukriti or whatever from previous lives to be able to just engage in hearing and chanting all day. They have to act. They have to do something according to their nature. So by establishing Varnashram Dharma, it can be considered to be very merciful, and it can give everyone an opportunity to be somehow within the orbit of Krishna consciousness. So it's like another way. And then another argument is that Varnashram Dharma it's applicable anytime. It doesn't matter what time period is now, like including in the modern age, it's still applicable. In fact, one can argue that there really is no such thing as modern, like a modern age, because, you know, we are eternal. Everything is going on. It's just eternal. Just a matter of whether we accept it or not. For example, like, you know, we're still eating. We're still, the sun is still rising. You know, we're still requiring money, we're still having children, we're still doing, everything is going on as it has always been, more or less. The idea of something being modern just means like non-Vedic, because as soon as one turns away from the Vedas, then one becomes subject to like time and duality and things. So it's just So the idea is, the argument is that it doesn't matter that it's the modern age, we can still implement Varnashram Dharma. Okay, so those are the arguments for some of the arguments. I'm sure this is a big, huge topic. There's still debate going on, I guess. But, so some of the arguments for not putting so much energy or any energy into establishing Varnashram Dharma. You know, some devotees have expressed some arguments against this. So some of these arguments is that, first, Varnashram Dharma, it's within the three modes of material nature, Trigunya. It's just it's like an economic system, it's a social system, it's almost like a material thing. It's not necessarily the essence, it's like a conditional dharma. So here our movement is trying to spread pure Krishna consciousness. So why would we be focusing our time on this thing, which perhaps might not be the essence? This is an argument. I'm not saying, I'm not trying to argue one way or another. I'm just putting forward the arguments. Another argument is that we don't have time. You know, establishing Varnashram Dharma, it's like a very time-consuming, energy-intensive thing, trying to arrange society in the Vedic way, especially in modern age. It's just very time-consuming. If you really want to do that and put all your energy in just doing that, then you won't have time for, like, self-realization or practicing devotional service, or, you know, because the human form of life is very short. So it almost requires, like, this single-pointed intelligence just on self-realization in order to be able to actually come to the point of self-realization in one lifetime, they say. So you shouldn't concern yourself with other conditional dharmas. This is the argument. Then another argument is that if we're wanting to satisfy Krishna, that it's better to satisfy Krishna through performing the Yuga Dharma, which is Harinam Sankirtan. So, you know, it's not, the argument is that it's not possible to satisfy Krishna unless you satisfy the Kali Yuga Yajna Purusha, as Charinish was saying the other day, which, and the Kali Yuga Yajna Purusha is Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya is pleased by the performance of Harinam Sankirtan. That's what Lord Chaitanya came to give us as our dharma, what we should be doing for this age. Not so much, you know, Varnashram Dharma, like, as explicitly as it was, like, this Harinam Sankirtan. So let's just do that, you know, so as a movement, focus on that. And then another argument is that just because sometimes the argument is that Varnashram can be acted as, it's like a safety net, so that it'll help people from falling down and getting more and more degraded, that at least they're within the Varnashram system. So there's an argument here that says that, well, even if you do, like, assign everybody a particular Varna and a particular ashram, and they're encouraged to act according to that role in society and whatever, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's going to prevent them from falling down. Because, you know, the example's given of so many devotees who tried to, you know, be very pukka sannyasis, very pukka brahmacharis or whatever, and that still didn't prevent them from falling down. So that's another argument. And then another argument is that when Prabhupada was speaking of establishing Varnashram Dharma, he was speaking, one argument is that a lot of times, mostly when he was bringing this up, if you look at all of the times that Prabhupada was bringing up this topic, that a lot of the times he was talking with, like, other religionists and scientists and economists, you know, politicians or whatever, and it was like kind of like to these people he was preaching the need to establish Varnashram Dharma. And then when he was speaking with the devotees, it was more of like a matter of establishing something to be like a model that the larger society could kind of learn from. You know, you kind of establish a little model of how Varnashram Dharma could work, and then society can do the job of, okay, let's learn from that and try to implement these systems on what we learn here on the larger, in the larger scale of the whole world, or countries or large scales. So that's another reason why we shouldn't put so much energy into, you know, trying to put so much energy on Varnashram Dharma, but it just, you know, maybe we could do a little example of how it could work, but that shouldn't be our focus by any means. This is an argument. And then another final argument is that, well, we've tried it and we've not met with a whole lot of success. We tried to establish Varnashram Dharma in so many different ways, and we didn't meet with a whole lot of success. So, you know, Prabhupada himself said that establishing Varnashram Dharma nowadays is virtually impossible. And None of us, a lot, most of us nowadays haven't really been trained in the principles of Varnashram Dharma, so we're very deficient in a lot of ways to be able to establish it. And then when you talk about the whole 50% argument, like what Prabhupada told us to, 50% of my work is left unfinished, which is Varnashram Dharma. Some people, another argument is that, well, we can't even really maintain the 50% that was already established by Prabhupada. So how are we going to go and try to start the other 50% when the first 50% isn't even like solid? And the examples given of, when Prabhupada is here, we were going out in Harinam every day for so many hours, these mass daily Harinam Sankirtans. And those aren't going on now. So we can't even maintain, like, at least to the same degree as it was earlier. So the argument is that we can't even maintain what we were doing already. So why are we going to be putting so much focus on establishing Varnashram or something when what's already there isn't strong? So it gets complicated. Not an easy topic, and when I was in Hungary, I was overhearing Radha Krishna Prabhu talking with some of the devotees there. They were having like a meeting of leaders in our society, and one of the ways that they start their meetings is that they I think they bring up like a controversial topic in ISKCON or whatever, and then they present on it, or they do a little presentation on it. And there's so many, and they were considering different topics that they could do to present at these leadership meetings. And this was one of the topics that they were considering, was trying to establish Varnashram Dharma nowadays in the modern age. So it's an ongoing discussion and topic. There's books and books on it, and it's not going to be understood so easily in just short time. So there's some things. There's like, if we actually did want to, because nevertheless we were instructed, but Prabhupada was very clear that he did want to establish some kind of Varnashram Dharma. So devotees, they can respond to this in a number of different ways. One way is that, okay, let's, Prabhupada wanted it, let's drop everything and go move into the farm, move on to a farm. Let's, this is a very extreme point of view, which generally isn't encouraged. But some devotees have this, like, oh, well, farm communities is really where it's at. We haven't put enough energy into there. Let's just, kind of take resources from projects that have already been developed, and let's go full speed ahead to these farm projects. That's usually not encouraged, but some devotees have that idea, how they can respond to this. And then another, like, kind of the other extreme is, well, just forget the whole idea of Varnashram Dharma and just focus on self-realization. Just focus on doing Harinam Sankirtan and understanding the philosophy, and just kind of, not really think about or have any intention of worrying about Varnashram Dharma. You just focus on self-realization, and that's it. So that's kind of like the other extreme. And then there's some options which are kind of not as extreme, but somewhere in the middle. One is that, okay, yes, you should. It one option is similar to the previous option of, just trying to become self-realized. But it's with the intention of not directly establishing Varnashram Dharma, but indirectly is trying to establish it. So the idea is that, Prabhupada said that devotees are meant to be like the Brahminical class of society. Like they're supposed to be the heads. So by developing Brahminical qualities, cleanliness, regularity, by preaching Bhagavad Dharma, by going out on book distribution, by doing the Yuga Dharma Parinam Sankirtan, trying to become a pure self-realized soul, then you can actually have the power to be able to influence people. And then by doing it's like Harinam Sankirtan or book distribution, then it increases the piety of the mass of people, so that they'll want to elect Krishna conscious leadership. And then that Krishna conscious leadership will then try to arrange Varnashram Dharma in larger society. So as far as how we're going to try to establish Varnashram Dharma, it's a matter of kind of doing what we've more or less been doing, Harinam books and everything. But we're not the ones directly using our intelligence and things to establish it, but we indirectly try to influence society to be able to do that. So that's another way that it can be done. And then finally, the other way is that, which is less extreme, is that those who have that, like, nature to do these kind of things, like try to establish society and try to arrange society in different, try to establish the principles of Varnashram Dharma, those who have that nature and those the proclivity or that propensity to do those things, then they can invest some time in doing that, but they shouldn't minimize what they're already doing in terms of one sadhana. And we should make sure first that the current preaching projects are strong and that we don't take the resources from the current centers and the current projects to be able to establish the Varnashram Dharma somewhere else. So it's like kind of like incremental. First, kind of make what's we have here strong, and then kind of after it's strong, then you can kind of make the next step in trying to establish Varnashram Dharma in some way. So these are kind of different ways that devotees have gone about trying to follow this instruction of Prabhupada and try to somehow understand Bhagavad Dharma and Varnashram Dharma. Okay, so what I prepared today. Any discussion on this?
I know it could be a very long discussion. I'll just try to keep it very short. The Prabhu, first thing that I was thinking about the different definitions you gave about the religion. When we try to look at those definition, it things with it seems that each and every definition is coming under one umbrella. That Krishna, means religion, codes of religions are enunciated by Krishna. When we see all the definition one after other, we can see
Are
that
you
the
talking
religion.
about Bhagavad Dharma? Like
No,
all the
the first
definitions?
definition you gave about the the
All the
Bhagavad Gita.
definitions I gave about, or that were there in the
They're
purport?
falling in one umbrella. It seems like that, and it is like that. That ultimately, the Krishna has created all the principles of religion, and no one can understand it without properly surrendering to Krishna. That's the whole thing. That was the first point.
Okay.
Now, the second point was that about Varnashram Dharma. That Prabhupada, when he came to USA, means he doesn't have a too much of time to spread Varnashram Dharma. He needs it, but the emergent thing at that time was give Harinam. And when ultimately when people are progressed and they become pakka in their sadhana and everything, and then they can understand the importance of the human form of life, that they should not waste by having a unlimited sense gratification, following four regulatory principle, getting married. So that was the whole plan for Prabhupada. But the thing is that there was no time to do all this thing, because do all this thing require a lot of time. So he just started Harinam. He tried to purify by giving the holy name. And the moment the people start get purifying, they start understanding that there's something more than this. 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 So that's how the society get built up. That was, you can correct me afterwards. There are some points. And the thing is that Prabhu, only Varnashram Dharma, establishing Varnashram Dharma as it is, it doesn't help, because there is a verse in Bhagavatam, Ya esham purusham shakshat atma prabhavam ishvaram na bhajanti avajananti sthanat bhrashta patyanta ada. That if person only try to maintain his social position in four varna and ashrama, but he does not devote himself to the loving service of God, then he will definitely fall down. So Prabhupada did recommend it, Devi Varnashram Dharma, at one point. But the process of Varnashram Dharma was to transcend about it, to ultimately to make the people understand that holy name, Krishna, is the ultimate source of everything. So that was the whole viewpoint of establishing Devi Varnashram Dharma. There was nothing else, that Krishna somehow stopped the people from enjoying unlimitedly and involving their all the senses in service of Krishna. And the reason why Varnashram Dharma was established for the grihastha life, because temporary means restricted sense enjoyment. That restricted sense enjoyment enable us or enable the grihasthas to further progress in self-realization process. So definitely, Varnashram is not coming in three modes of nature. It's beyond three modes. If it is properly utilized, it goes beyond three modes.
Yeah, that's the idea, is that we're not trying to establish Varnashram. Generally, when Prabhupada refers to establishing Varnashram Dharma, he means Daivi Varnashram, which means arranging society in such a way that is pleasing to Krishna, which is the whole purpose of arranging society. And because he instructed us how to arrange the society, so the whole purpose is to please Krishna. Right, so in that sense, it's important, because Krishna says it is pleasing, you know, to him. As far as Prabhupada coming over and starting Harinam first, there's some point about there's no time, whatever, to establish Varnashram. I'm just remembering what Hanumat Prasad Maharaj said when he was here. He said that when Prabhupada came, started the Krishna consciousness movement, he first started the Varnashram, then started, and he gave the example of, you know, first he got people married, and then he implemented other things. But that's what Hanumat, or maybe that was the idea, I don't remember the exact quote. Maybe someone remembers more in detail than I do, but that was the idea, is that Prabhupada first, you know, got people married, and then he had initiations.
The point was that Varnashram is in the three modes of nature. But you can correct, if the seniors can also correct me. It's beyond three modes, because if it applied properly, then it is beyond, above the three modes.
Well, if there's no God in the center, like, there's like materialistic Varnashram, which is, you can still have the social orders and everything, but if there's no God in the picture, Krishna's not anywhere in the picture, then it is under the three modes of nature. It's not something to be, that we want to establish. Okay, Luke.
My first thought, thanks for the nice discussion, was that in response to this argument about the urgency, we don't have time. It seems like this was a mood perhaps appropriate when Srila Prabhupada was physically present because of his elderly age, and there was like a sense of wanting to accomplish something significant before his departure. But as you were mentioning, Prabhupada did give indications that he wanted us to try to develop like a more sustainable long-term vision, how the society of the Hare Krishna society would develop. And it just occurred to me that this mood that there's no time could either be genuine spiritual enthusiasm. Like the devotee who's thinking, I don't even have a second to waste, you know. So genuine spiritual enthusiasm could yield that mood of actually, yeah, I don't have time for anything material, only pure devotional service. But my impression is more often it would be false enthusiasm, utsahamayi, this sort of artificial sense of excitement, oh, I don't have any time to waste. But if we look at the individual behavior and the community behavior, so much time is being wasted. And why is that? Because we're not very carefully contemplating how to proceed in the most sustainable and progressive way. Then there was one other point I had. If you didn't want, do you want to share anything on that?
No, go ahead. That was a nice point.
The second point was that it seems, of course, from where we are now, trying to implement something even close to, or let's say, trying to imagine how our current situation could ever look anything like Varnashram Dharma is really overwhelming. So then if one is thinking how to do everything all at once, it would be very complicated. But a lot of the actual tenets of the system of Varnashram Dharma are more like details meant to support these fundamental principles. Like you were saying, in the Brahminical class, there are certain qualities that the Brahmana is meant to cultivate. And the same is there with all the other classes of society. So I've done some thinking about it, just trying to kind of isolate fundamental principles to give like a clear sense of what, as individuals, we can work towards for ourselves, for the community. So what are the most important foundational principles within Varnashram Dharma? And of course, the first, which Prabhupada said by his example, is Brahminical culture. And that, as its foundation, is sacrifice to the Supreme Lord, yajna. So on the one hand, we have yajna and spiritual culture, means training, education, and practice. And then on the other side, for persons who are not yet at the point where they can wholeheartedly engage, they'll have some occupation. So then there's cow protection. We hear Krishna's the well-wisher of the cows and the brahmanas. So this occurred to me to be like the two most foundational values, that at least if a spiritual culture, or sorry, at least if a community cannot be grounded in spiritual practice, at least it should be grounded in nonviolence. So these two tiers of society, the one that's wholly dedicated to spiritual culture and the other that's at least dedicated to nonviolence, like sustainable loving exchange between. So yeah, there will be persons who come to ISKCON and they won't be so fanatic about pure Krishna consciousness, which is fine. That's to be expected. Even a lot of people who got initiated in the first wave of ISKCON, you know, you look at their trajectory in terms of involvement, they weren't actually that deeply committed to pure spiritual practice because it's just such a rare thing. So it occurred to me that like maybe an initial step in terms of establishing something like Varnashram society is really deeply meditating on this value of a non-violent culture, which is required in the mode of goodness, you know, to bring people to the mode of goodness so they can transcend. So those stuck out to me as the two most kind of fundamental things is for people who are ready for that, yeah, yajna, you know, engage them in yajna, of course. But then for people who aren't, then we'll need people who are able to engage them in at least promoting a non-violent society, which cow protection, you know, and animal protection and, you know, healthy relationships. So anyway, those are just some thoughts to try to kind of, because it can be really overwhelming, you know, but to simplify it down to the core values we hear in education, rather than trying to educate the behavior of a child or an individual, change the behavior, first address the values, you know. And if you address the values, then automatically the behavior will change. So those are the two values that stuck out to me. Spiritual culture, or at least nonviolent culture. Anyway, Hare Krishna. If you have any thoughts, that'd be nice.
Those are nice. I don't have much to add. Is there anybody else who'd like to add anything to this question? Sorry, I just...
Thank you. It's a topic that comes up a lot. I was just really appreciating your presentation of it, you know, both sides. And I think it's pretty clear that this is something we need to be doing and is important, something that our acharyas want. And I think that's why we're seeing so much of it on the higher level, you know, of ISKCON, because devotees are understanding this is something we need to be doing. I think now it's more about how to do it. I was just going to comment. One thing that you mentioned, you know, Prabhupada said, well, you know, why are they falling down? This is a reason that we need Varnashram. So I'm not necessarily referring to that particular context, but in general, you know, that may be an argument that's being used now that devotees are not, because they're not properly engaged. And I see the validity of that point. At the same time, I think it probably can be traced more to their hearing and chanting, the quality of their sadhana, devotee relationships. So I think the varnashram may be a factor of that, but I think the root of the problem, again, comes to what we traditionally say is the Bhagavad Marg. The Bhagavad. Now, in this context, you're mentioning that they're actually synonymous in one sense. And then my other question was just going to be, if you, well, for a few minutes, wanted to share anything. I think you saw that video, you know, just because it's very much related to the top. It's nice how Krishna arranges things. Because the purport was talking a lot about, you know, nonviolence to any living entity, you know, to speak of cows and things. So if you want to maybe just share a little bit how that relates to this. And one final point was just, Luke mentioned that, you know, the initial followers, Srila Prabhupada may have not been that sincere because we see their trajectory. You know, at the same time, I think what our movement had to go through at that time, you know, I mean, we see the potency that those devotees had. And when Prabhupada left, there was no other senior devotees you can imagine, you know, a bunch of 20-year-olds. And the founder Acharya leaves, and now you have to maintain the society. You know, all of the gurus were falling down. So I think it was unfortunate that those disciples were in that position. I don't think that necessarily implies that they were not very sincere. I think it was the circumstances of that situation. But if you wanted to share something about the cowspiracy also.
Yeah, we watched this little documentary last night, Cowspiracy, about how animal agriculture is affecting the environment in a very negative way. So they gave so many statistics about how, in order to produce enough meat and dairy products to be able to meet the demands of the people of the world, they have to do these really extreme things to the environment to be able to meet that demand, like, you know, chop down so much of the Amazon rainforest primarily for raising cattle or for beef or something, or they tend to, like, all the waste from these large-scale animal agriculture gets runs off into, like, the oceans, and then the ocean, and they become these huge dead zones and oceans, and it affects, like, the, you know, aquatic life and the ecosystems there. It was just like an example of how of seeing the effects of us participating in violence by eating meat or supporting industries that poorly treat animals or whatever for the sake of just gratifying our senses or tongue, how that that ultimately leads to some serious reactions that the world is facing now. So we were just, you know, they offer different solutions as far as, like, they were basically just promoting, like, okay, well, then just stop eating meat, you know, become vegans. And that can help solve so many problems. And then after the discussion, the devotees were saying, well, that's, you know, maybe a good thing to do, but that's not really getting at the core of the issue. The core of the issue is that our heart is contaminated such that we want these things like, you know, meat and, you know, all this, like, tons and tons of animal products to satisfy our tongue. So that means our heart is dirty. So in order to address the issue, you know, okay, one, you can try to convince people to be vegan, and that's what these people are trying to do that came here and had dinner the other day. They're trying to convince people to be vegan, but they're finding it to be very difficult to do, because this movie showed that, you know, they were talking to these top-level executives in these corporations about, they're supposed to be good environmental organizations about these issues, but yet the top-level executives are having a difficult time answering questions about the effect of animal agriculture on the environment, because they know that animal agriculture is required for them to be able to get their meat and their different meals, their dairy products. So and they're finding it difficult. The whole point of the documentary was just like, why is it that people are finding it such a difficult time to realize that this is such a violent system going on now, and why aren't they, why not just become vegan? And the devotees were saying, well, because they don't really know what the real root of the issue is, which is that they have a dirty heart, that they have material desires, and they're not understanding who they are. They have no idea about spiritual life. So it's very difficult. So they're having a hard time. So the only real way to be nonviolent, like, you know, and see everybody equally, all living entities equally, like the verse is saying, is to practice Bhagavad Dharma, is to live according to the instructions of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is something that was missing in that documentary that we saw last night, Conspiracy. But nevertheless, it was informative. You know, it was pretty impactful to see, like, wow, how serious the reaction is for supporting or engaging in this violent system. So anyway, it's past time, so I'll stop here. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki. Oh yeah, there's a Brahmachari meeting downstairs now.